Thanks to Matt and to the band. Thanks for leading us this evening. And hello, if you're here for the first time because of the snow, we expect to get maybe one or two people that's not going across to their normal destination on a Sunday night. You're very welcome. In the face of what Matt's been praying about, it's good to think that there could be something practical that we could do in a response. And this morning I was sharing that we have a Christmas appeal for the refugee situation, and particularly focusing on Syrian refugees. So there is a Christmas appeal. There's a box on the welcome desk. Next Sunday and also on Christmas Eve, there'll be a collection, and that'll be divided between Christians Against Poverty and the Syrian refugee appeal. If you are giving cash, there are some envelopes next to the box, and if you fill these out, extra money goes towards the cause. It's the gift aid scheme. Well, if you have a Bible, would you turn with me to Isaiah chapter 11 again? In verse 9, they will neither harm nor destroy. Isaiah 11, verse 9, they will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Also reading from chapter 10 and verses 33 to 34. See, the Lord Almighty, will lop off the boughs with great power. The lofty trees will be felled, the tall ones will be brought low. He will cut down the forest thickets with an axe. Lebanon will fall before the Mighty One. Well, this week we've seen quite a momentous political event with Donald Trump moving the American embassy, or planning to move the American embassy to Jerusalem. And there's been so much debate about that, as you would expect. And I'm not going to comment on the politics of it, but the questions we might want to ask is this wise? And what is wisdom anyway? Who knows what a wise thing is to do today? Is it going to bring peace, or is it going to make things worse? And what is peace, and where can it be found? So within that sort of one momentous decision, you've got two questions which apply to everyone in the world. You know, what is peace, and what is wisdom? And the passage that we're reading tonight addresses both these questions. The basic direction of what I'm going to say tonight is that you can only have peace if you know Jesus Christ. Jesus wasn't mentioned at all this week in all the discussions about the move from the American embassy. In all the discussions about what wisdom is, no reference to Jesus Christ. And I think that goes right to the heart of the history of the world and the way the world is moving. And I tread very carefully on this subject tonight because I know that there are many views, even within Christian circles, about the nature of the state of Israel within the plan of God. And I'm not going to go into that tonight, but I'm going to take you to what Jesus said. This is in Luke chapter 19. And Jesus, as he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it, and he said, "If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. If you would only know what would bring you peace. And these words of Jesus to the people of God, Israel, 2,000 years ago, could be said today as well. It could be said into our own lives. If only we would know what would bring us peace. Do you know in your own life tonight the pathway to peace? Are there conflicts in your life that you would long to see resolved? And what is going to bring that peace? And I want to say again very clearly, the closer you get to Jesus, the closer you get to the peace. The more you let Jesus rule your life, the more you will find that peace. Looking at this wonderful and majestic prophecy of Isaiah, you've probably heard the famous words from Isaiah chapter 7. For unto us a child is born, for unto us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. The background of that saying of Isaiah was a situation of imminent war. So I've got to just bring up a slide here just to give you some of the background. Thanks, Alan, if you could bring that up. So the three black arrows, you probably can't see it very well, but the top one there is Aram, which is Syria, today's Syria. Then you've got Israel, the northern kingdom, and then you've got Judah in the south. And Ahaz was the king of Judah. And Israel and Syria were getting together to attack Judah. And what was he going to do about it? And the prophet Isaiah said to him, he says, do not worry about it. He says, God says, just have faith. It's not going to happen. The thing that you fear the most is not going to happen. But Ahaz didn't trust the word from the Lord. And instead, he went into an alliance with the superpower Assyria, which then came back years later to attack Judah itself. So it was putting his trust in the wrong place. And again, that goes back to the central principle of what I want to say tonight. If we put our trust in the wrong place, we will not find peace. And in our lifestyle today, you know, we can put our trust in money. We can put our trust in relationships. But if we do not put our trust in the right place, the Lord God himself, let's not be surprised if we're still restless, if we're still living with anxiety. So I'd like to speak about chapter 11 now, just moving forward to the main passage tonight. And be no surprise to say that the promised Messiah as the key to peace is, there's a lot of time being spent explaining what he's like. So first of all, where he's from, the origin of the Messiah. Secondly, what he's like, the characteristics of the Messiah. And thirdly, how is he going to rule? What makes him different from every other ruler? We see, first of all, that this passage is like bookends. If you think of your bookcase, and you've got a couple of bookends. Well, chapter 11, verse 1 and verse 10 are two bookends. So in verse 1, it talks about a shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. And then in verse 10, it says, in that day, the root of Jesse will stand as a banner. That's a bit strange language, isn't it? So if you think of a tree stump, out of that tree stump, which is basically the kingdom of Israel, which has been humbled, everyone's sort of saying it's all gone terribly wrong. Everyone's getting depressed. But out of that sort of depressive situation, there is hope. There's a new tree springing out of that stump. The stump of Jesse, the David's family, the Davidic kingship. There's going to be a new king coming out. That was never said about any other king. All these failed kings of Israel, they never said that about him. But the most remarkable thing about this description, in verse 10 it says, in that day the root of Jesse, so he's not only the shoot of Jesse, but he's the root of Jesse. So it's saying that this king comes from Jesse, but this king preceded Jesse. So immediately we know that we're not dealing with a normal situation, are we? We're not dealing with another human king in the line of all these failed kings. Something special is happening. Someone special is going to come on the scene. And one of the difficulties that we find when we read these prophetic books is we say, well, when? When is this going to happen? I don't know if you like hill walking. Lots of opportunities for hill walking in the Highlands. But you know when you go up a mountain and you think you've reached the top, and then there's another mountain there that you have to... So you've got the mountain in the foreground, but then there's all these other mountains beyond it. So whenever you read a prophecy like Isaiah, think of the mountain range. And certainly when it speaks about the Messiah, the Deliverer, that there are certain human figures that precede Jesus, which are significant and important. But ultimately, at Christmas time, we should focus on the ultimate fulfillment of that prophecy, which was Jesus Christ born in Bethlehem, adopted son of Joseph from the line of David. So that's the origin. Then the character of the Messiah, and this is where it gets really practical. It says, the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of power, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. All these adjectives to describe what he's like, wisdom, understanding, counsel, power, knowledge, fear of the Lord. Fear of the Lord twice. So that's obviously very important. So first of all, wisdom and understanding. We know about King Solomon and how he prayed that he would be given a discerning heart to be able to oversee his people, to be able to make good decisions and right decisions. We know that's like a general characteristic of wisdom, but then there's that specific discernment and that understanding, which is to get to the heart of the issue. Have you ever been in a meeting, maybe in your working life, or maybe in your family, or in your church, and you just long to know what the answer is, and then somebody says something, and you say, they've given a word of wisdom that has gone right to the heart of the issue. They've put their finger on it. Well, that is what Jesus Christ did all the time. We read in the Gospels of these conversations that he would have with people, like the woman at the well, or the rich young ruler, or Zacchaeus, or some of the Pharisees. And Jesus would just look right into their heart, and he would give a word of wisdom, because that is what happens when Jesus rules. He gives wisdom. This is contrasted in chapter 10, verse 13, with the Assyrian king. He's just all talk. He boasts. He says, by the strength of my hand I have done this, and by my wisdom, because I have understanding, I have removed the boundaries of the nations. I plundered their treasure. Like a mighty one, I subdued their kings. And I'm sure that you can think of rulers today who are all puffed up and they think that they're so wise and they're so insightful. But it's like the emperor with no clothes. Everyone knows they're talking nonsense. But we have Jesus Christ, who is for us the wisdom from God. That's what the Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 10. I wonder when he wrote these words in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, that Christ is for us the wisdom from God. I wonder if he had been reading Isaiah chapter 11 when he penned these words. So the application for us tonight is, do you have a true understanding of life and how to live it? Do you long for that guidance, for that discernment? That we can come to Jesus Christ and ask him for a spirit of wisdom and understanding, that we might know him better. The more you know Jesus Christ, the more wisdom you will have for life. And it's not something that's just given to the privileged few. It's when we trust in the Lord God, Jesus Christ, his Spirit comes and lives within us. And one of the first gifts of the Spirit mentioned is the gift of wisdom. So it's something that God freely wants to give. So in the situations that you are facing in your life tonight, are you asking God for wisdom? Are you expectant that he will give you an insight into the heart of the matter? And are you gathering with other people who know the Lord and praying with them and asking that wisdom will be revealed? Do you remember Daniel, who was known for his wisdom in the Old Testament? And when that great tyrannical ruler, Nebuchadnezzar, gave his edict that unless they could interpret the dream, they'd all be toast by tomorrow. Do you remember that? And what did Daniel do? Daniel asked for time. He said, give me a few days. And what did he do? He gathered his friends and they prayed. And as they prayed, the interpretation was given. And Nebuchadnezzar praised God and he said, your God is surely the God above all gods, the revealer of mysteries. Wouldn't it be wonderful this week if in your workplace, when everyone is trying to work out the way ahead, that you could pray and you could give a word in season and that people would give glory to God. I speak to people all the time about the frustrations they have at work and the difficulties they have and the politics and often God has placed us in amongst all of that confusion so that we can bring a word that will bring order and will bring direction. So the character of the Messiah is one of wisdom and counsel. Counsel is like strategy. It's not only knowing the key issue, but it's knowing what to do next. And anyone who's responsible for leading anything, and there's many leaders, isn't there? We all have to lead something, especially our families. It's one thing to know what the principle is, but then what is the strategy? And the Messiah, one of his characteristics is he's got this counsel, the spirit of counsel. And we can ask and pray for the mind of Christ. We can ask and pray that he would give us practical steps. And then once we know what God is calling us to do, then sometimes it's really hard to follow through, isn't it? We know what we should be doing, but we know it's hard. So we maybe hold back a little bit. But it says here that the Messiah has also got power to follow through. So we can ask for that too. So that's the characteristics of the Messiah. But the most important one, which is mentioned twice, is the fear of the Lord. That means that he is more concerned about what God thinks than about what everyone else thinks. And that is why you can be confident about someone's direction, spiritual direction, if that direction has got the honor and glory of God right at the center. Often so many of the decisions that we make are all mixed up with our own preferences, our own comfort zones. But Jesus had the honor and glory of God right at the center. That's why he was prepared to go to the cross. Not my will, but yours be done. And then thirdly, the rule of the Messiah. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes or decide by what he hears with his ears, but with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. Do you remember the story with Solomon and how the two mothers came in and they were arguing over the child? And he was able to look beyond everything that was being said to him and get right to the heart of the issue. That ability to distinguish between appearance and reality. And that is something that we need to pray for everyone in leadership, that they won't just make knee-jerk sort of decisions, emotional reactions. Now, some people are thinking that maybe this week Donald Trump has moved the office of the Foreign Office to Jerusalem to distract attention from other issues. Or maybe he's following through on something that the Senate has been trying to do for years. I don't know what the answer is. But sometimes leaders make decisions on a sort of knee-jerk basis. But this Messiah, this Jesus, he makes decisions on the basis of righteousness. He makes decisions on the basis of true justice. And that is often on the side of the poor and of the side of the needy, the side of the oppressed. And the true king of Israel was always someone who acted for the least. And where the kings of Israel went wrong was when they got puffed up and proud and they were self-serving. But Jesus was the opposite of self-serving. He came not to be served, but to serve, to give his life as a ransom for many. So the rule of the Messiah is something we can have confidence in. But just finishing on this issue of peace, it says here that the peace will come when the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord. That is the application for us tonight, that the key to peace is not going to come through politics, although politics can help to keep the peace, but it doesn't make the peace. The peace comes when the knowledge of the Lord spreads. And that could be in a family, as more people come to acknowledge Jesus Christ and his way. It can come in a society, as more people come to hear. So the practical implication for us this Christmas is we need to tell people the way of peace. Jesus wept over Jerusalem and he said, if only you had known the way of peace. But Jesus had spent his life preaching the way of peace, but they rejected it. But for us, this Christmas, to go out with that message of peace, to say that we know the Prince of Peace, we know where he comes from, we know his origin, we know his character, we can tell people how wonderful he is and how he has relevance for today, he can give us wisdom for today, and his rule that to put your trust in Jesus Christ as Lord is the best decision you can make. See, Ahaz made the wrong decision. He says, unless you stand in your faith, you will not stand at all. And he didn't stand in his faith, and it all fell apart. And when people are confronted with the decision of following Jesus, it's often, well, they can't quite imagine what's going to happen next. But the more that we can tell them about the character of Jesus, the character of his kingdom, and ultimately that he is in control of the future and all of history, then that will help them to make their decision and to put their trust in him. I'm going to finish by reading from Romans chapter 5. These are words which have changed history. Words which led to the conversion of Martin Luther and also John Wesley. John Wesley was a very righteous man. He, 18th century, if you're trying to wonder where he's coming from, one of the greatest evangelists. And he was on a boat on the Atlantic Ocean, and there was like a storm on the boat, and he saw these Christians that just had a real sense of peace, and they were singing hymns. And even though he was an Anglican vicar, he did not know God the way that they knew God. And he was disturbed that although he knew the truths of Christianity, he did not experience peace in his heart. And it troubled him. And he obviously would have been praying about it. And he walked into church one night, and these words were read. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And as he read these words, he said that his heart was warmed. His heart was warmed. And I think that at that point, what was in his head went from there to there. You ever thought that distance? So just a short distance from the head to the heart, but it's often a very big distance that we don't take what we believe in our heads and allow it to transfer to our hearts. So pray to God, the Prince of Peace, and ask him to rule your life. Put your trust completely in him. And ask him to fill you with his Holy Spirit, to fill you with the fruit of the Holy Spirit, which includes peace, to fill you with the gifts of the Holy Spirit, which includes wisdom, and you will not be disappointed. Amen. Let us pray.